That was good foot stomping music, wasn't it? Good special. Yes. That livening you up. Encourage your spirit. This morning, as we look at our final message in this series on faith, our scripture text this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Just two verses this morning. And this will conclude the series, again, on faith. And hopefully this particular message will be encouraging to you over the others as well, because this kind of tells us where we are and where we need to be moving towards, being Christ, being the author and finisher or protector of our faith. And the writer gave us a number of people who are heroes of faith, are very faithful in walking with the Lord. And it's very important that we read and study these, and many of those are in the Old Testament. And I'll share why we need to read and study from the Old Testament as well as the New in a few minutes. But here in chapter 12, the first two verses, it talks about the cloud of witnesses. And those witnesses are those who were before us and who God worked through their lives, just as he does our lives and the life of the church, and how they are an example of those who persevered with endurance, and they persevered with encouragement to us and others who will follow us as well as they read and study the scriptures. So if you'll follow with me with verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, just two verses this morning. And actually, it's giving us the example of Jesus Christ himself as our prime example. So looking at verse 1, which says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud," and that's a mass, the cloud means many or mass of witnesses surrounding us, "let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And then verse 2, "fixing our eyes on Jesus." There it is. That's who we want to fix our eyes on. And, you know, we've been hearing about all of the great examples of those, but the ones we really want to fix our eyes on, and those who are listed in chapter 11, fix their eyes on Jesus. That's where their faith and their trust was. So we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, and many translations may say finisher. The New American Standard says perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And may I paraphrase and add on to that, and he intercedes for us when we pray or when we go to him. And sometimes when we don't even know what to pray and how to pray, Jesus Christ and the Spirit intercede on our behalf. So when we look at this passage this morning, this passage is moving, I want to say, exhortation that motivates believers in the Christian life or in our Christian living. Now, we know that the attainment of perfection will only come when Jesus appears. and we will see him as he is, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And also Colossians 3, 4 says that we will see him as when he appears, and we will be like him in the Spirit. So if the goal is perfection, and perfection is to be like Jesus, then it is understandable that God is seeking now to move us forward to that ultimate goal where we journey, while we still can journey on this earth. As those who are mentioned here in verse 11, or chapter 11, their sojourn through this earth, seeking the promise, and that's what we're doing. We're looking for that promise. We may not see everything that we think that the Bible, you know, points to and describes in our life as those who follow Jesus and follow the Lord God Yahweh through life. But now they ultimate now in heaven, and they see what that promise was, and they saw it here on earth, and now they are experiencing it. So the secret is fixing our attention, our eyes on Jesus, and following the path of his obedience that he created in us. That's why the scripture says he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, disobedience and discipline will free us from all the world, or would the things that hinder our development of our faith, and deliver us and help us better understand God's will in our life. Now, let's look first of all, running our race, or running the race, as it tells us here in verse 1. As I was thinking about this message and thinking about running the race and being in sports and things like, many of you are in sports and you had good coaches or great coaches and so forth, I did as well. And I can still remember some of the techniques and things that were shared with me, and I still use them. And when I look at scriptures, I see how they interact and help us better understand, just like Paul used athletes and Olympics and things from the scriptures, because the Greeks, they were very high in sports and Olympics and things like that, and they trained for these sports and so forth, and they used techniques and methods that we could can use today. But when I was in high school, I had a coach who felt it was important to make good athletes out of us, out of his players, and out of all of us. And Coach Henderson used several techniques to set us, or to help us do our best. And I'm only going to share three of those, because he shared many of those, and some of them I can't remember. But some of the ones that really stood out to me, I want to point out in this message today, and I think should help us in our endurance and looking at ourselves and how God can work in our lives. And he would say, other athletes have done it, and so can you. Now, he used that, I believe, as an encouragement. Other athletes have done it, so can you. Then a second thing he would say, just think of what it would do for you physically. And you know, while you're going through those physical exercises and demands and so forth, you think, this is not good. This is just, and you've often heard the saying, no pain, no gain. But sometimes that pain is pretty difficult to try to maintain or endure. But, and then the third thing Coach Henderson would say, now watch the other kids and see how they do it. Those are the three techniques that I remember. And of course, there were others, that he would use. But as I reflect on this experience, I am amazed to discover that these same techniques or approaches are used in this paragraph to encourage us as Christians to run our race. Now, looking at verse 1, it says to look around at the winners. Now, the cloud of witnesses are the winners. Those are the heroes of faith. And the great cloud, and again, assembly mass of witnesses, were introduced back in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And they are the heroes of faith. Now, it's not suggested here that these men and women are in heaven. They're watching us as we run the race, like people seated in stadiums. And that's not what this is suggesting. Now, many may think that, but I don't see it that way. So the word witness does not mean spectators. That's not what it means at all. And that's why I'm clarifying this. Our English word martyr, those who die for the cause of and the sake of Christ, comes directly from the Greek word witness. That's what that means. Now, I've talked to persons. I've talked to a lot of people over the time who say to me, I rarely read from the Old Testament except for Psalms and Proverbs. Now, how many of you read from the Old Testament, like reading from the Old Testament? Okay, I do. I really do. And you know how I feel about that. You know, the new is concealed in the old, and new is revealed in the New Testament. So I would say to them that would make that statement to me, you are missing a great deal of spiritual help. And I asked a person to turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And this is a good example. Even the scriptures tells us to go back and read and draw from the Old Testament. And Jesus drew from the Old Testament. The apostles would draw from the Old Testament as well. And Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in early times was written for our learning. Early times means the Old Testament. So that through patience and comfort, the scriptures might have hope in our lives. Now, I then explained patience means endurance, and then comfort means encouragement. And those are the things that I think was in the techniques and methods that Coach Henderson shared with us. As I shared with you this morning, that the writer is sharing with us here this morning about these, Christ being the author and finisher of our faith. Now, one of the best ways to develop endurance and encouragement is to get to know the godly men and women of the Old Testament who ran the race and they won. They ran it and won. They didn't only just start it, but they ran it and they finished and they won. And for example, and I was thinking about this morning in my time preparing and praying and so forth, the message, I was thinking about what are some good examples of some of the Old Testament characters or people who live by faith and they ran the race and they won. They finished. And I was thinking about the things that we deal with in this life, the hardships and families and people. And if you are having problems with your family, read about Joseph. He's a good example, isn't he? The things that he went through with his family, but in the end, they all came together. God brought them together and used Joseph as the example and the one who brought the family together, and he had endurance because they were not good to Joseph. They even wanted to kill him. They even sold him as a slave. But God provided a way for him to be instrumental in bringing the family together and making something good out of those experiences. So if you think your job is too big and the study of life, study the life of Moses. If you think your job is difficult or hard, you think about Moses, all the things that he went through in leading the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, and listen to their complaining and disobedience and so forth. Think about Moses. He had endurance. He persevered. And then he encouraged the Israelites and the Hebrew people with God's comfort and so forth. And even though they still rebelled, he still had faith, and he won his race. And if you're tempted to retaliate, see how David handled problems. Now, looking at verse 1, latter part of that, it says, look at yourself. That's what the latter part of verse 1 says. Look at yourself. Look within. You know, I'm thinking about when athletes are practicing or they're getting ready for any sport and so forth. And I remember having to use weights on my ankles and so forth and having to run with those or jog up and down with those things. But when you took those off, you know, your feet, your legs were just real light, and you could just pick them up and go. And athletes wear training weights to help them prepare for any events. And no athlete will actually participate wearing weights because they will slow him or her down. And a modern analogy of that is those who play baseball. They put a donut, a ring, or weight on the bat, and they swing that round and round to help them stability and the weight, and then when they swing, they seem like they have more power. And there's others, like golf clubs. You've got weights you can put on those for swinging and so forth. So there's so many different techniques to prepare yourself for any sport. And what are the weights that we should remove that might win in our race, in our life, own personal spiritual things? Everything that I think that will hinder our progress, and the scripture talks about it right here. Winning athletes do not choose between good and bad. They choose between better and best. And we should also get rid, according to verse 1, the sin that easily entangles us. And if you think about anything in your life that you might consider a weakness in your life, it will entangle you, and it will hinder our spiritual growth or our spiritual race, our journey on this earth. Because we want to start well, we want to run well, and finish well, according to what the scripture is saying here. So while the writer doesn't name any specific sin, he was probably referring to the sin of unbelief and doubt. That's a sin. Or anything that will hinder or entangle our spiritual growth is a sin. And that's why the writer of Hebrews here, 12, adds this to this verse. So it was unbelief that kept Israel out of the promised land. Even though they believed in God and they many times trusted God with their lives and everything, they still had unbelief of the fulfillment of the promise. And yet, even though Moses and Joshua and Caleb and all of these great heroes of faith was there encouraging them on, even in their weaknesses, they had unbelief at times. So when we look at the phrase here, by faith or through faith, it's used 21 times in Hebrews chapter 11, indicating that it is a faith in Christ that enables us to endure. It's our faith in Christ. It was faith in Christ that helped all of these heroes of faith to endure in their life. And it will us as well. And if you think back on when you started your Christian journey and the hills and the valleys that you've been through, what kept you focused on Jesus Christ, the finisher, author and finisher of your faith? It was endurance. It was that knowing that Christ Jesus saved you, forgive you of your sins, and gave you hope and a new vision and a motivation in life. Give you a different perspective than what you were entangled with sin. So it's important we realize that the things that we read and study in the scriptures will help us to apply those things in our life and endure and be encouraged by doing so. All right, finally, finishing our faith in verse 2, which says, look at Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. So he is the author, he is the originator, and the finisher of our faith. And it is in looking to him, that's why it says look to him, that we were saved. For to look means to trust in Jesus. So when the dying Jews looked to the uplifted serpent on the pole, they were healed. And this is the illustration of our salvation through faith in Christ. Now, looking unto Jesus describes an attitude of faith, and not just a single act, but our attitude of faith. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he lived by faith. He practiced faith. He endured. He went to the cross, trusting in his Father. And even though the Father had to turn his back on Jesus, his only son, because of the sin, he could not look upon sin. It wasn't his son, but it was a sin of the world that placed Jesus on the cross. Now, the writer of Hebrews quoted our Lord saying, I will put my trust in him. And that's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, and Isaiah, which is taken from Isaiah 8:17. The fact that Jesus prayed is evident that he lived by faith. Jesus prayed daily. He prayed continually. As Paul says, pray continually. That means to always be in the attitude of prayer. Did you know that prayer will help your faith? Praying is communicating with God, who is the author of the Word of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And that's why prayer is so important for the Christian life. Don't pray just when you have a particular need, but pray continually. Pray thanking God for his blessings. Thank him for being with you and giving you discernment and understanding and wisdom in decision making, or understanding maybe other people or situations that are far beyond our comprehension or anything that we can do. But praying to God gives us that hope. It increases our faith to better be dependent upon the Lord for everything in our life, every decision. And I believe that's why Paul himself said, pray continually. Because he said, I find contentment no matter what situation I'm in. Can we say that in our own life? If we're in a situation that's uncomfortable, that stretches our faith and so forth, can we say, I'm content? Well, Paul could say that because he had that relationship with the Lord, that focus, and he saw from Christ's perspective who he was himself, and Christ put a different perspective in his life when he saved him there on the road to Damascus, turned his life around, and Paul was never the same. He was never the same. And when Christ touches our life, we will never be the same as well. We will endure with faith as well. So in closing this morning, since Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, and he is, trusting him releases a power in our life. That's where we gain power. That's how we're able to endure in our lives. And as I think back years ago, I could have tried to follow the example of some great athletes and still not succeed. But then I look on it on the other hand. In my younger days, that athlete could have entered my life and shared his how and ability with me that would make me a great winner. Well, you see, Christ is both the exampler and enabler. He can do that in our lives. See, when he enters our life, when we allow him to live his life through us, we're great winners. We are great spiritually winners. And as we see him in his word and yield to his spirit, he increases our faith and enables us to run the race, and not only run the race, but to win it. We're all winners, right? With Christ, we're not. We'll always succeed when we follow Christ and follow him in faith and endurance. And that's encouraging to each one of us when we do that. And it's encouraging to others who watch you run your race. We're running that race each day. And sometimes, you know, we might not get off to a good start in the mornings, but if we start it with the Lord, he'll get us through the day. Yep. We'll be great finishers, great witnesses. That cloud of witnesses that chapter 12 is talking about, we all can be great witnesses, just as they're great witnesses to us. And they started, they ran, and they finished well. May we do that the same way. Let us pray. Our Father God, this morning we praise your holy name. We thank you for the examples of your word. And this has been a great learning to me, and I hope it's been a great learning to each one of us here that's heard these messages over the weeks, from Hebrews 11 to now, first two verses in chapter 12, that our faith needs to be increased. It needs to be encouraged. We need that endurance. And Lord, the more we study your word and more we understand it, the more we want to know more. When we leave here today, may we leave wanting more. And that's the way it should be. In our learning, in our journey with you, that we cannot get enough of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. If we don't feel that, then Lord, maybe we're not spending enough time with you personally. We need your perspective on life. Just as these great heroes of faith, they yearned and they didn't give up. They weren't quitters. Even though they didn't see the promise, all the promises that you were leading them and showing them that they would receive, they still kept the faith. And that is faith, believing and trusting in your absolute word. Whatever the decisions are, whatever you laid up on our hearts this morning, may we be willing to follow through and maybe take a step for you this morning and go out of our comfort zone and be willing to be that witness to others and to those we know that might be struggling with decisions or something in their life that is entangling them, that's keeping them from growing spiritually. We all need that encouragement. We all need that endurance and that motivation to keep on keeping on. Lord, your Spirit that lives within us can help us in all of those areas. May we just remember, all we have to do is just yield and surrender fully to your Spirit. And then we will see great results as we start and run our race and we finish well. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.